What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 67 of Value Town. I'm Chanman V, and joining me, of course, is Noxious and Ray. How's it going, buddy? Ray, you having
pretty
a good week?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's going good.
Cool. All right. Noxious? Yeah. Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good.
All right. I see that. You know, I never noticed that collection you have in the background. You look like a Blizzard employee. What is all that stuff, man?
It's Final Fantasy stuff, so I'm a traitor to Blizzard. I've got one like Final Fantasy, Warcraft stuff, and it's like Lady Vosh figurine from, I don't know. I took to that like 6 months ago, and I haven't bought anything since. So yeah,
it's only been 6 months.
Wow. Not too big on the figurine stuff.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't plan to buy much more of it.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we've got a guest today. As you can see, Super JJ. How you doing, buddy? One of the top players we've got right now.
No, I'm doing good. Having a good evening, joining with you guys, of course.
Great. Well, I can't wait to have you join our card discussion. Lots of new cards announced since last episode. I think 13 we have today, so not quite as many as last week, because we had 2 weeks worth, but definitely plenty to talk about. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Why don't we start out with just our week in Hearthstone? This is kind of the segment we just talk about, just whatever we've been doing, streaming, playing Brawl, whatever. Noxious, you want to start us off?
Yeah, again, I feel like I just don't play much Hearthstone. My week has basically been spent getting excited about the new cards more so than play the game, to be frank with you. I've played a little bit of, Murloc Priest, the old school Confuse Murloc Priest, which surprisingly makes Confuse a really OP Savage Roar. Like, you would be surprised, but there's a day where a deck like that, not maybe Murloc, but something like it, will just seem really ridiculous to all of us. It's not there yet, but I'm sure eventually Confuse will just be completely retarded. So
it's kind of cool. Confuse Murloc Priest. Yeah. Wow.
Well, okay, maybe not Confuse Murloc will be good, but that was fun.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Ish. You know. Take it with a grain of salt, like everything we do here.
I've done the pseudo, Divine Spirit Inner Fire with Confuse, but never Murloc, that's for sure. Raynad, how about you, man? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been good. Just doing some streaming and stuff, and just the usual. I don't know. Anytime I'm home, it's kind of the same stuff. It's I'm streaming and a lot of answering emails and all the boring team stuff, but yeah.
Gotta do it. You're a busy guy, so not there's dead, when things start picking up, man, you're barely ever home, right?
Yeah, I got a few events coming up. It's gonna be PAX East and then DreamHack Austin. And there, between the two, there's a tournament in Korea, so we'll see.
Gosh,
it's the first one I play in a while.
Yeah,
I haven't really wanted to play tournaments much, just because I don't have time to like learn the meta or anything, but this one was like South Korea, so just as an excuse to visit, I guess.
that's a really good thing.
It's a pretty city, that's for sure. And I know everybody goes. I haven't been. Who's been here? Who's been to Seoul here?
Not me. My son did. I'm pretty sure.
Ray, you've been, right? Once.
No, I've never been before.
Never? Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you went.
That's why I'm getting one. Like, otherwise, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that should be an awesome experience. Which tournament is it? Like, who's hosting that one?
OGN. I don't even know if I'm supposed to say. I don't know if it's announced or anything.
Okay. All right. OGN. Well, if it is OGN, then that should be pretty sweet, because they always have a nice setup there. They do great productions there. Super JJ, what you been doing besides Dark Souls?
it seems like I'm playing Dark Souls, but yeah, I have actually a lot of to prepare for tournaments. Like this evening I spent preparing for a tournament, and there are like some online invitationals, and I have like some LANs coming up, and I'm also going to DreamHack Austin and PAX East, so not that much of free time, I guess.
All right,
but well, still
just a little bit of everything, just a little bit of practicing, a little bit of getting ready for some travel too.
For standard. Yeah, and for standard. I'm like super excited for tryharding. Yeah, that'll be a good one.
That'll be fun, I think. Like, after the amount of time we've been kind of waiting for all those new cards to come out, like, I just want to see what maybe the nerfs will bring. Because that's, I think, what everybody's waiting for at this point. It's kind of the unspoken please give this to us, like, right now, because right now all those cards mean very little in the, like, without everything kind of mapped out.
Yeah, I think we're to the point where we've seen enough cards that we need to find out what the changes to Basic and Classic are now, just to really complete the formula, like you're saying. Hopefully that'll happen soon. I mean, the next thing I wanted to talk about is just, I guess, rumored release date, which is April 26th. You know, people coming up with all kinds of reason they're thinking this is a release date. I don't know. What do you guys think? Legitimate date? You think this
makes sense? These
people are you know, correct with their assumptions here?
No, it seems correct. Like, we have no reason to make very. I think 26 seems fine. They told also like end of the month.
Yeah.
If we want to patch there,
it's definitely within the realm of late April, early May, like they were saying originally. But that's only 3 weeks away. So three more weeks of card reveals, and I would think we would find out changes. I mean, I'd hope a week before.
Probably
maybe
just
they're
the same
literally
day,
not going
like
to tell
the
us
the day
anything.
Before. Or
yeah,
yeah. I don't think they'll tell us anything. Okay. They seem adamant not to give us the opportunity to bitch about the card that's getting nerfed for the week that we lose to it before it gets nerfed.
Yeah,
okay. And it kind of makes sense, really. Like, the satisfaction level of the player base would dip like at an all-time low if we had that information and lost. So I can totally get behind that that decision.
Mm. All right. I don't know.
That's Ray. What I'm always doing, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Ray, what do you think about that? Just not finding out until, like, the release.
It's a little bit annoying. I don't know. I feel kind of obligated to spend more. I mean, like, I want to have every golden card at some point, so I already spend, like, too much money on Hearthstone. Yeah. But I feel even more obligated to spend, like, lots of money around the Old Gods release because they're waiting that long to announce the, like, nerfs. Because you want to open some Old Gods so that, because you're going to have, it's just better to get, like, the commons through opening packs and stuff than grafting them, obviously. But for the legendaries and epics and the stuff you're unlikely to open, it's better to just crack a bunch of classic packs. Like, it's way better to buy classic packs than anything else.
Oh, I see.
Like, kind of the cards are going to disenchant for full value.
I see. Wow, crafting meta right here. That's okay. That's cool. That's a good reason. That's actually a good reason. Hopefully we will find out very, very soon. And Noxious is supposed to have a card too. Ray obviously had his card, and be curious to see which card you get, Nox. I'm hopefully
probably
some kind
janky
of new
comment
text.
That does nothing.
No,
you haven't seen it.
Which one?
I don't know yet.
Yeah. I don't. I found it like a few days before, so I mean, it's one of those. I don't know about you, Ray. Did they tell you your card?
No,
like a few days?
Mine was a few days before.
Yeah. So I think that's just their general policy. You'll probably find out soon.
Yep.
All right. Next topic I wanted to cover just really quickly before we get into cards is the whole Chinese or the whole wind trading fiasco that's going in China. We didn't get a chance to touch on it when Nidra first came out with his article because I believe we were like in between weeks or there was an episode that we missed. But Nidra did come out with a very investigative piece, you know, a little bit more an expose of what's going on in terms of the wind trading in China. And, you know, he had a lot of screenshots from chats, you know, involving lots of popular streamers and notable players from big teams there. And he basically was giving the lowdown on it. He had a follow-up article this week, which you can actually see on Reddit. It might even been today that he actually published it, that kind of follows up on just what's happened since. For the most part, you know, a couple of these players have been banned. I think 17 players altogether were banned by Blizzard. And, you know, so we're starting to see, I guess, the public over there starting to... turn on, you know, because this wind trading was kind of an accepted thing, like in that culture. And now I feel like they're starting to you know, kind of call these people out and, you know, trying to, you know, get these people, I wouldn't say removed from the community, but it's definitely starting to be frowned upon now in China. So I wanted to get your thoughts on just the general, just wind trading. We've had, you know, a few instances of it here in the Western scene, and we actually have a success story. I mean, like a success story where Nyman was obviously banned for a year, and then he came back and won the European. So that's actually a cool story of somebody coming back from that. But wanted to get your thoughts just generally on wind trading. Start with you, Super JJ, your guest. Any thoughts on the whole Chinese thing?
I actually read an article. It's like, I think it's like a really terrible thing, because for this, people who are not included, they're like, how do you break in if there's really like that big of a circle? Like, it has to be Blizzard doing something where like banning mm-hmm. people, and not even ban it might be fair, because I know how hard it is. Like, if there's like a really big hill to climb to get top 100, and even then, it's like there's so much variance on ladder, like it's almost impossible to get in. But I really hope they're doing something there. But I heard like Blizzard is not watching too close at the Chinese ladder system. They are more like about the European one and the NA one. So I think it's a really terrible thing. I was also really mad when I heard like Neyman was doing it, or some other players, right? Mm-hmm. It's just something like I can't accept. Like, really, like these cheaters, like, how can you take them serious? I mean, Neyman did kind of a different thing. Like, everybody knew he's good, and he just built a new account and just rocked it again, right? He did it without cheating, and that's fine for me.
Okay, sure. I mean, if it just a little bit, right, with the amount of points they give for the like being highly ranked. So it helps mm-hmm. a little bit that they are kind of lowering the reward for being high ranked. But again, it goes back to the ladder system not being exactly what we want it to be. So it's kind of like a dead horse we're beating over and over and over, making the ladder system what it is. So I don't know, like, it's hard to see a world in which you wouldn't have win traders. Like, sure, you can try to monitor them, but at some point, like, it's happened all the time in every single game where you have a competitive ranking system that people can get into. Like, you're kind of a cartel in the top ranks. It's, I don't know.
So you,
I was expecting it. I'm not like surprised. I just think it sucks that, you know, it's happening again and again and again. And really, there's no good way to handle it unless you spend like a countless amount of man hours on this crap, just trying to single out people. So
yeah, extremely expensive, and that was definitely talked about in the article too. But you're suggesting that the ladder is the issue, and what's interesting is that, you know, when the system in HCT was announced, you know, taking, or just in general, just World Championship was announced even like 2 years ago, just taking points from how you finished in the ladder was one of the biggest positives, I think, about it. Just allowing anybody, right, anybody that's a ladder warrior or whatever, to be able to participate in the main storyline of Hearthstone competitive scene. So you're saying that the ladder is just like, maybe we shouldn't be using points there, or like because of things like win trading? I mean, that'd be a shame if that was...
No, I mean, it's done in a while. It's just that it would be nicer to have more qualified tournaments as a way to, I guess, get exposure more so than just the ladder climb. But then you make an entire game mode, you know, kind of irrelevant. It's like in WoW, I think, right? Like, if you look at WoW, it's kind of how I'd like it to see to be played.
Okay.
Yeah. I personally feel like there was never more interest in competitive Hearthstone than when ladder was irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Was right, yeah.
When the tournaments got the better viewership, it's when the community followed it more. You saw like more Reddit posts about tournament results and stuff. People like, now it's a tournament happens, just nobody cares. You know, like, some people will watch it. It'll hit 20, 30, 40K if it's Blizzard. Mm-hmm. But people just don't, like, there's not as much discussion about it as there used to be. And a lot of that is, I don't know. Like, the ladder system is just super volatile. And it's hard to say that somebody that finishes, like, top 10 is a better player than somebody that finishes, like, between 200 and 300. I would argue it's like impossible to argue that. So you have to, like, I mean, you can compare them on other metrics, but yeah, like ladder itself, you know, if I see a player that's ranked 250 and I see a player that's ranked 10, I'm not going to assume that one's better than the other either way.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just like, yeah, I think it'd be better if they just did qualifier tournaments only, like the same way that Magic does, where you play, you know, a qualifier that directly gets you a slot in stuff, or it qualifies you for another qualifier, and you just keep going through these tournaments. Because at the end of the day, like, ladder alone is like most of the time not going to be enough to get you into the thing, unless you double, right, unless you like finish top 100 twice or something. So I think it would, like, either way, to win a tournament, you're going to need tournament experience, right? Nobody's going to just play ladder to qualify and then, like,
get there,
all the tournament experience.
Well, the biggest issue is it's harder to manipulate too, like the tournaments versus the ladder.
Yeah, so it was just better to, I think, just do tournaments probably. But I don't know. I like the idea of ladder mattering. It's just, I don't like the idea of this ladder system mattering, because this ladder system's awful. Anything that you love.
I actually had a big discussion with that about with Life Coach. Like, you maybe have like Kush is not trying anymore on ladder because he says like the ladder system is like not rewarding at all. Like even like the fact that you start from rank 16 and just grind it down when you just have the last days counting, like it's just like it's not rewarding at all for like high level players. It's like just a super huge grind, and when you have to hit this good run and when you just camp it down, it's like super stupid.
Yeah,
pretty much. So it kind of goes back to stuff we've talked about before. So it's really just the same old argument coming back. But like, it's a systemic issue, right? Like, from my perspective, the reason we have win traders is because that type of winning is incentivized. Like, there's games where you don't even have that ladder system and people will fix games, right? So like, it depends on the game you have, but there's always going to be kind of a subset of the population that tries to game the rankings, however that happens. So, yeah, like, we shouldn't be surprised that it happens. We should be outraged, maybe, that like we should try to punish it. Not necessarily punish it, but find a way to solve the problem so it can't even occur. But I don't see how you can fix that systematically, like within the game, unless you make all the incentive of ladder go away completely. Besides maybe like chests and, you know, getting golden card backs, hell if I know. You know, I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there. It's just like win trading, like no matter how much we police it, it's going to happen. It's just so hard. Yeah. It's so hard to prevent it from happening. And I mean, even some people don't even realize they're doing it, like sometimes end up doing it. But the qualifiers, I think Reynad's suggestion is good, just at least for the championship and just having that be the storyline. I think that's actually probably the best thing. But you know, it's just like, I've always been a huge fan of just having, you know, like possibly, you know, these folks that aren't, you know, super experienced with tournament and having that kind of storyline. But that's a perfect world scenario, you know, like in a vacuum when the ladder's, you know, really, really great and perfect. Yeah. And we can do that. But unfortunately, the world's not like that. And what's crazy about the Chinese thing is that it's just more accepted. You know what I mean? The win trading. It's one thing to like, okay, like we're like, okay, you know, like it's going to happen. It's kind of one of these things where, you know, it's just like, we have hackers, you know, hacking other games too, right? And things like that. But it's a lot more accepted, it feels like, in that just, you know, just in that culture, just that side of the world. And much bigger of an issue for Blizzard, I feel like, over there. And there's a lot more people too. It was just like 10,000, I think 10,000 out of, or 20,000 out of 30,000 legends, they I think was the estimate in that article saying that we're actually not our win trading legend players. That's a lot. That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So hopefully they can, eliminate that. And that can just, at least from a culture standpoint, not be such a big deal. There's businesses too, right? We've seen businesses too, like in WoW and here, or just like these types of boosting businesses in different games.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah. It'll happen every time. They have like forums where people offer to boost you or whatever. So,
yeah.
And some people make a living out of it, so that doesn't help either.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move on from all this drama and let's talk about some cards here. We've had 13 cards announced since our last show last week, and we've had one of the, another old god announced here, Yasharaj, is that right? That's how you pronounce it, right? Yasharaj?
Yeah.
Somebody was giving me the pronunciation.
Yasharaj. So everybody's kind of bitching at me for like reading it the way it's written out, and I'm like, okay, thanks for that.
Okay, Yasharaj.
Like Yasharaj or something like that, yeah.
Why is it Aj? There's nothing between R and J.
That's what I said too, but then people were telling me it was
Aj. Like, it's a guttural sound that your human tongue cannot possibly pronounce properly, and it's written out like some fucking old god language from buttfuck
nowhere.
So it's kind of just...
Sorry.
People know that.
Yeah. Luckily, we won't have to say that name very often.
Rich, why don't you start us off? Well, actually, let me describe it for all our audio listeners. 10 mana, 10/10 body. At the end of your turn, put a minion from your deck into the battlefield. Ray, why don't you start us off?
It's a 10 mana card. I don't know. I mean, it can be strong if it's treated into play, but. Unless there's more cards like Ancestor's Call type of things that get made, this probably won't see play. There's a lot of like obscenely big minions in Magic, for example, and they do see play, but they're always cheated into play with other cards. So if there's, you know, more effects that let us do that, this might see play, but I don't think people are gonna like hard cast this and win that way ever. So
okay. Noxious?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the hard casting part is right. Like, it's too expensive to play for 10 mana, so you'll probably have to try to play it on, like, cheat it out. Now, we saw, like, the new blood stuff come out, so it's kind of... You'll probably see gimmick decks try to go, like, Alarmal Bot, Conceal, and try to get a charge out, right? Like, just some, get, like, janky way to pull him off.
Yeah.
Or even jankier, you go, like, a charge, prep, gang up, and he just brings himself out, and it's the only minion you play. And then you just get another Sharsh, and then if somehow one of them lives, then you get the other two out of the deck. But like, it's going to have to be very janky, I think, to be good.
Super JJ?
I mean, I had so much problem like with evaluating, especially big drops lately, because there's like these rumors, not just rumors, like BGH getting nerfed, right? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
First of all, first I need to know that. And then the first card, which I compared, this one was like Varian Rin. I think these are like, is how playable is Varian? Varian is straight up better, and not even he sees play at the moment. Like, I don't think this card will see too much play by the, like how it is now.
Yeah, I could see it maybe being in an Aviana deck or something like that, where you can get it, you know, you can get it down right with the Aviana play and or.
Oh, yeah.
Innervate with like two others too, right? And you're kind of just adding another big one. It's just like crazy.
Aviana Druid is like super amazing. You just
it's
play
fun.
Aviana.
Yeah.
Might be a good thing to play, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They did add a new wild growth effect to the game, so I mean,
that's
maybe
true.
You know, like a critical,
a really good one, even, right?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that one too. That one's really good. Okay, so this is a cool looking card at least, but we'll see if it gets some play. All right, next up.
Yeah, like I just give me a sec. Like,
yeah, sure.
I want to talk about a Shard just like one last time. You're mentioning ramp, but like if you play with Aviana, like we've had a lot of pipe dreams with Aviana, of course. Astral Communion being, you know, one of them, of course.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I have to wonder if the metagame is actually slower and Faceless comes back. Like that card, a Shard and Aviana, kind of like that kind of deck is just ridiculous.
Mm. You know what?
I can't help but think that Faceless is really scary. Now that I think of it more.
Yeah, you pretty much just dump your hand. Like you almost dump your hand anyways with Aviana Innervate, but like this would legitimately dump your hand. Yeah, that's true. I don't think I've played too much Faceless like on the Aviana turn, so that's cool. All right, next up we've got two non-class cards. First is a 6-mana drop, 7. Actually, we'll start with this one. 6-mana, 7 attacks, 6 health. Name is Scram Cultus. It's Battlecry. Give your C'Thun +2/+2 wherever it is. Noxious, you want to start us off?
Sure. C'Thun decks have a 6 drop, and no one else will play that. And if BGH doesn't change, then not even C'Thun decks will play that. But it's fun to think about the fact that if BGH is nerfed, this is actually somewhat playable in a really weird way. Even though it's not very good, it might find kind of a home as a filler curve. Thing is, like, when you have the other cultist, it brings out C'Thun in your hand. You've got this guy. Like, it's tough to see why you'd play this, unless you really need a stat boost.
Okay. Super J. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, we need to know, like, how many C'Thun buff we need until we make, like, mathematically C'Thun, like, effective.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, like, it's true, right? Like, how many do we need? Like, is he making the cut? And second of all, like, the BGH, right? Like, with this amount of 7 attack minions, like, you have to start assuming that this card is getting nerfed. Like, it's just a joke. Like, how can you start evaluating him but not knowing the nerfs yet? That's kind of sad for me. I was a bit upset about that.
Well, you guys mentioned BGH. I mean, here's the thing, like, I understand everybody talking about BGH, but after a while, I'm just like, I really get turned off when people's first response to all these cards is, oh, it's BGHable, you know? And the thing is that this is like a 6 drop, and if they're running C'Thun, you don't want to use BGH, right, on anybody but C'Thun. So
either you're dead to C'Thun, but like you don't need the removal for C'Thun. Yeah. Either he comes down and you're already
screwed. Then you're just dead. Yeah.
Or you win before that point.
My point is just that even when we see it now, you know, people won 1 BGH, but there are like many or, you know, 3 or 4 targets that are BGHable. So I mean, once that's done, then you get full value from a lot of these, right?
No, it's just about the first and second. The first BGH is not about, it's a tempo swing it gives you. It's like insane.
Yeah.
Just wins you the game.
It's not where you get it, right?
Mm. Yeah. Ray?
Reyna, I think differently. Yeah.
I mean, even if BGH wasn't a card in the game, these are still worse stats than Boulder Fist. Yeah. And I just don't think it'll ever make the cut. Because the other ones are just better, honestly. I think like maybe in Arena you'd take it sometimes, but even there it's kind of weak. It's overall one of the worst cards in the set, just because there's like very few scenarios where it'll ever get played, even in niche decks. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like outright bad. I don't expect to see much of it even in C'Thun decks.
Yeah, this feels like a starter deck type of card. Since C'Thun is the starter deck, going to be the new starter deck for anybody that buys these packs. Good for them. Definitely good for them. Let's see, number six. Six mana. Four attack, six health, Ancient Harbinger. This is an epic card, and at the start of your turn, put a 10-cost minion from your deck into your hand. And the first thought is Old Gods just popping into your hand. Is this a good card, Super JJ?
What does this card remind? It reminds like of on Magic, right? Like there are always these cards when you get your finishers into your hand. Mm-hmm. What do I think of this card? Stats wise, bad, of course, for the mana, right? Like, so we have to make the card text good. Yeah, that's like how it is. Like, which 10 mana card is worth getting into your hand, right? This is the question. Like, it will be one of the Old Gods. I can't see this. I can't really hardly evaluate it yet because how strong will the Old God effect be? Or the 10 mana card? As I see it now, it's not quite strong enough because like 6 mana, 4/6 is like Emperor stats, but a 4 attack is quite weaker. So it's like mediocre to bad, I would say.
Okay. Like with C'Thun, I mean, you can make an argument it's worse to have him come out earlier, right? Because he's not going to be buffed up.
So that... But until you can play C'Thun, like you're already at turn 10, you're so deep into your deck already, thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't matter if you get C'Thun early, you still get buffed.
Yeah.
True. I guess that's true.
Like, I also forgot that this. Scarum Cultist guy, the card we talked about before, he won't be in Arena, actually, because he's C'Thun related. Mm-hmm. So.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Expected he's weak. But anyway, Harbinger guy is okay. He's, you can play him in Astral Communion or something, because getting Deathwing in that deck is really important. Mm-hmm. But I don't really think he's quite strong enough to see play, because he's got to live a whole turn. And if you can get your 4/6 to live for an entire turn, you're kind of ahead already. I think you're going to be better off just playing like card draw to get your 10 cost guy, because you're going to draw through like at least half your deck by the time you can even cast the 10 mana card. So it doesn't matter if you have it up to that point. So if you just play card draw instead of this guy, then like a Nourish will draw like a quarter of your deck at that point. So Nourish gives you a 25% chance of hitting C'Thun anyway. So
exactly.
Yeah, I think just card draw is probably a better choice than this card, but it's definitely interesting if they print like combo oriented 10 mana cards that you really need to get later on. So,
it'd have been cool if it was Paladin with like something with Anyfin or that sort of thing. I like the text though. I definitely like the searching text. Noxious, how about you?
Yeah, like, I don't know, because, like, initially my thought was that they would make, like, a tutor or, I guess, a fetch effect, for those of you who don't play MTG, like the ability to fetch a card from your deck, like, Sense Demons. Right now, it's not, Demons isn't even played, because you really almost don't need, to pay 3 mana to draw 2 cards as a Warlock. But if there's ever, combo demons that you need, then that might be a way to kind of get to them. And I was looking at this kind of the same way. The effect is extremely powerful, given that you need it and you're able to cast it, but the way that Hearthstone pans out, like getting to turn 10 is already difficult enough given, a very refined metagame, very often at least. And when I look at something like this, I'm thinking, well, if I play it, they just kill me outright if it's a very aggressive meta. Or if it's mid-range, it dies before anything happens. So it's kind of a 4/6 with taunt for 6 mana, which is kind of crappy. But on the flip side, I look at Ramp Druid and I think to myself, well, if I've got Wild Growth and the Mire Keeper, then that means, on 4 I play Mire, or even on 3 if I have Wild Growth. And then on 6... or even on turn 4, assuming I've curved Wild Growth into Keeper perfectly, and then I hit the Harbinger, then I can guarantee my 10 drop. But again, it's like the Astral Communion deck would use it better than just typical ramp, maybe.
Right.
So
you'd rather just play Cairn, I think. Yeah. Anyway, like if you're
probably
gonna play
yeah, that's
turn
the issue.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just kind of awkward overall. Like, it's just really tough to justify including anywhere. I think I would have preferred a Battlecry, move your old god, or like move an old god in your deck or legendary, like five cards towards the top. Like, I would have rather just moved the old god on Battlecry near the top instead of just drawing it out, but you have to wait a turn.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. All right, next up we've got a mage card. It's a 5-mana, it's a spell. Cabalist's Tome, add 3 random mage spells to your hand. And we've got some mage decks that do require a lot of draw, and especially draw into damage. So is this card going to be, conducive to that? Something like a Freeze Mage? Raynad?
I think it'll be not really for Freeze Mage, but it'll be pretty good in grindy control mage decks, which definitely might be an archetype if all the pieces are there after the rotation. Like, we lose duplicate, but we have things like Conjurer and Cabalist's Tome and just like ways to make extra cards that other decks don't really have access to. So, we'll see if that kind of strategy can really be justified when you can just play like one Elise instead. But
right.
It's interesting. Like, if you roll another Cabalist's Tome off of this, you kind of already won Control Mirror just right there. And I don't know. I think it has a lot of potential, actually, but it would be in decks that we're not used to seeing already. It would be it'll definitely be in Reno, and it will be in Control Mage if that's actually a deck, but who knows.
All right, Noxious?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it for, like, a Discover Mage. It's kind of some people call it, like, Concede Mage, because it's rightfully so right now, it doesn't quite perform as well as, every other mage archetype. Like, I remember when Grinder Mage was a thing, like, this is kind of where you play that. Like, you don't have Echo of Medivh, you lose duplicate, but this is a really good way to get extra cards. The issue is, like, people look at this and they think, oh, cool, I get extra spells and tempo. And that's kind of like, I don't get that. Like, how do you justify paying 5 mana? Like, I'll play Conjurer before this, of course, in tempo, just about all day. I'll play a Druidrake in tempo over this. So if you play this, then you have to be playing a longer game. And I think Grinder Mage is the only one that can use it hyper-effectively based on what we know exists. But, you never know what comes up after the rotation. Maybe something crazy shows up and we're like, oh, never mind. This is playable everywhere.
Okay. Super J?
It's like a super value card, right? And you don't even know what you get. You might end up getting, like, Arcane Missiles. It's, like, pretty hard, but... if anything you played in Mage, like, we have to consider, like, these Grinder Mage, like, they had a hard time with Druid combo and stuff, and we might just don't see that anymore. It's like, it's a really big tempo loss, but it's like, and Hearthstone is defined a lot about tempo, and this might just cost you a whole turn, and you have to be, like, you commit on going into fatigue when you play this card, otherwise you might just not get the value out of it. So, well, it's like...
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's a big tempo loss, but all the cards you get recover tempo, right? Almost all of them.
Most of them are for me. And
stuff.
The mage spells are generally good. Like, if you're gonna have to randomly pick a spell, I think that class is probably the one that you want.
It's not just that they're good though. They kind of like make up for spending 5 mana doing nothing.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You get freezes, AoEs, spot removal. Like, even Ice Barrier can help keep you alive, give you time to play your stuff. But yeah, I don't know.
I think it's interesting because you can play it with, like, Nova. You can play Nova in this and just probably find another freeze. If you have another one in your hand as insurance, then you can maybe even just stretch out the game a few more turns. So I could see Freeze Mage try to incorporate it. But it's going to have... I don't know. I think you'll have to experiment with it to see how often it hits something you like.
Yeah.
It's like one of these nice experimental cards that you like to see on stream. You just try it. Oh, it's like really cool to see, and you just see this random spell popping up. Really nice.
Yeah.
This is a Tavern Brawl. Has Tavern Brawl written all over it instead of a bunch of portals like this? Cabalist's Tome. All right. Next up. Okay. Here's the big dog. We've got probably the biggest minion that we've ever had, or at least without buffs and whatnot in the Ancient One. But we're going to talk about, I guess, what spawns it. First off, the 9-mana, 9/9 body, Blood of the Ancient One. It's an epic card. If you control 2 of these at the end of your turn, merge them into the Ancient One, which is a 9-drop 30/30 body. And he's the biggest guy that we've seen. So this has a kind of a Thaddeus, Stalag Fugain Thaddeus type of feel to it. Any thoughts? Is this just only a fun card, or is this actually have some kind of crazy viability? Noxious?
Well, the little I've talked about it, I think the viability would come from something. And we've talked, like, we talked about Aviana, Ishars, and whatnot. Like, you could include this in there just because. Not because it's optimal, but just because. It probably wouldn't be optimal, in fact. But, like, I could see myself trying out a really janky hyper-control priest with double resurrect and this guy. But, like, I don't expect it to work. Like, if you pull off, like, you play one blood and it dies, and then you resurrect, and then you get two of them, and then you use the Herald Valash, then you get four of those, so you get two 30-30s.
Oh my God.
And that's, like, the only minions you play in your deck, literally the only thing. If that's it, then you can almost, if you get the fatigue, you can probably, if you don't get doomed or twisting nethered or double executed, you know, somehow, then you might get away with it. But I'd rather keep four 9-9s than two 30-30s, given the choice.
Wow, that is
that's the only situation I could see this work.
JJ,
I mean, this is like the pure stats giant, right? Like, first of all, we have to ask ourselves: do we still have the beast on our sides, or like, we have to ask that to us, right? And the first combination, like the first thing I read, there is at the end of your turn. That's a really good thing. Like you don't need to have it to live one turn. And the first combo, of course, which we think of there is like a Faceless Manipulator. So we have a 14 mana, 30-30. So we get for total 14 mana, 30-30. Is that good enough? And is it not too slow? So it comes down on turn 10 as a finisher. Where do we see it? Do we see it maybe in Control Warrior, maybe in this Fatigue-ish Mage style? It's a very interesting card. I can't say like how much of an effect it will have. Like, you also make it needs to hit face afterwards. Like, you commit a lot to that game plan. It's interesting. You can tinker a lot of it, I think.
Hmm. Okay, Raynad, can't wait for this.
When I first saw these cards spoiled, I saw them on Twitter, and I saw both of them side by side, and I thought the Ancient One was its own card because I saw it first. Mm-hmm. That was just a card by itself, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Wow. It's not good, but it's interesting.
Right. Wow.
That was a 9-mana 30-30. The card's not good enough for constructed play. So that's kind of my opinion on it, but it would be interesting if you could just play a 30-30.
Emperor Charge? It would see play. Like, somebody would do it.
You don't think it's good enough as a 30-30 at 9? Really, Ray?
No, it's bad.
Like, maybe play it in like Warrior combo, maybe. That's about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Might as well play Frost Giant in that deck. Like, it already exists. So.
Well, I mean, like, because you can Emperor with Charge, right? Like, I've tried Seacrack and Charge, but like this would work too. This would work better. But yeah, outside of like that kind of combo, like just a 9-mana 30-30 isn't good enough. It could be a 9-mana 70-70. It wouldn't be good enough. It's the same stats.
Right.
Like, it's. There's like no functional difference between like 15-15 and 1,000-1,000, really. Either it hits them and you win, or it doesn't and you lose. And most of the time, it's not going to hit. So I just don't really think, like, as far as competitive viability, it's bad, but it's definitely a fun card, right? Like, if you can get this off on stream and actually get, you know, the bloods down, it'd be pretty fun. I don't know. It's good for like highlight reels. We'll see. I'm sure I'll get really. Like, months down the line, I'll get really bored of the metagame, and then I'll try to make the Blood of the Ancient One deck work, like, one time. And
you retire it forever and be like, yo, that's it, I did it.
Yeah. I'm done. With the Herald Velages, too, like, Noxious is talking about, get two of them.
I mean, if you give this guy Taunt, he's like a monster, right? Maybe in Handlock, when you anyways play, like, Faceless or something. It's interesting. I don't know. I think you can tinker a lot with this card. It's, like, hard to evaluate like this, and just excluded out of constructed. These are the cards which are interesting, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Next up, we've got Shaman cards. We've got lots of Shaman cards. We've got three of them, in fact. Shaman getting a lot of love this expansion so far, and seems like they're getting some interesting tools with the three that we're about to talk about. Let's start off with a 4-drop. 4 mana, 4 attack, 5 body, Master of Evolution. It's a rare card. Battlecry, transform a friendly minion into a random one that costs 1 more. All right, so a lot of people, first thoughts were like totems. First thoughts are like healing something. What do you think of this card? JJ, can I start us off?
I mean, the 4-mana card is like super fucking good, right? Like you have like the 4-mana 4/5, which is like already like okay-ish stat-wise. Not good, but okay-ish, right? And then you get the 1-mana tempo gain as well. Like if you have a... what I like about this card is like it's board focused, right? And they always made the Shaman like kind of facious, going face at the moment, right? So yep. We have this card. That's true. I like it a lot. Like, also, like what you have to consider with this card, like what 6-drops are there if I have a 5-drop on the board? Is it worth it percentage wise? Like, it's super interesting. The card style, it's board oriented. I like it a lot. Definitely constructed worthy eventually. Like, this card is like also pure tempo, right? Like, get 1 mana, have a decent body.
Yeah. I mean, you get the upgrade too. It's like, you know, you get a random one that costs 1 more also. It's not just an even transformation. Reynard, what about you?
This card's nuts. Shaman definitely looks like the best class so far from the cards they've shown, because it already had a lot of insane early game, because it has Tunnel Shrog, Totem Golem, it has Hex, like the best spot removal, it has Fire Elemental. And they basically filled in all of the curve with all the unplayable cards you didn't want to play. Both of these minions here like are insane with Tuskar Totemic, so like that card gets way better. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Master Evolution is really strong. I don't think it's as good as the cost reduction one, but it's still good. The only other 4-drop you really want to play is Defender of Argus, so there's room for it. It curves off of Tuskar Totemic insanely well. It's, I don't know, good just to play on curve if you're not getting value. It's just a strong card, yeah.
Yeah, I have a nice solid 4. 4 is not usually overloaded too, you know, after the Totem Golem plays and whatever it is. Noxious, what about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I love it, but I hate it because I can already see the world in which it's going to be like Paladin Shredder RNG on that 2-drop you get from a totem. Like, you just have to hope it's not Doomsayer you're giving yourself. Like, it's going to be great, but if Shaman is very, very powerful, then it's going to feel like Justice when they get greedy and get a totem to become a 2-drop. And then they get Doomsayer, then I'll be pretty happy. But overall, I still feel like, I don't know, the variance of it kind of bothers me, but I guess you don't get away from it, right? Like, it's Hearthstone, so.
Does it work with Brawn, do you know?
With Brawn, no, it won't, because, like Recombobulator, it's like a different object
target,
after it was transformed. Yeah, different object once it transforms, so.
Yeah, but
you can't, like, double upgrade it.
You get a double upgrade, though.
No, you wouldn't.
You wouldn't, oh, okay.
No, like on fizzles because the target's different.
Yeah.
I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, excited to play that card. So, yeah. I was going to play Paladin once it came out, but I'm quickly wanting to play Shaman with seeing all these cards. Next card.
Wait, so, what? It works with Brand. Blizz confirmed it. Are you
it
kidding?
Works with Brand. Oh, so it
How
does give you a double
sense?
Upgrade.
Holy so Recombobulator works with Brand now? Or what?
Brand you want to be playing anyway.
Wow. That's so
what?
Good.
Like, the thing that worries me too is like that 6-drop, right? Oh. Like the thing from below. You get that out early and you turn it into a 7-drop baseline and now it becomes an 8-drop.
Yeah, that it's stupid too. Yeah, it works with the 2-mana.
Yeah,
it's 5-5. Like,
wait. What happens if you have Brand out and then you transform Brand? Do you still get the 2? You still get the 2.
Yeah, and that because the odds are already doubled.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah. That's.
I'd say it's still.
That sounds retarded.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
You need your
that, I don't. That, there's no way that works. There's no way that works, man. Like, that can't work. There's no way that this is actually possible. Unless Recombobulator change and they somehow change the way like objects interact with each other, the targeting system would not be able to support that. Unless they literally doubled up the effect before it happened. Which would be weird.
Mm, yeah, it really just depends on how it's executed.
Transform.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no way. I'd be surprised.
Okay, well, it's one of the first things I think a lot of people are going to try out too. Just play 3. Yeah. Just play Brand on 3 and play this card and see what happens. All right, next one is a weapon. Okay, so this is, I talked a little bit about this last week, just talking about Doomhammer. This is a 5-drop, which is the same as a Doomhammer. Twilight's Hammer, 4 damage, 2 durability, Death Rattle Summon, a 4/2 elemental. So does this foresee a change to Doomhammer? I mean, we don't see repeats on mana costs often, if not at all. Do we have a weapon that overlaps right now? If we do, we don't have very many of them.
In Paladin, we have quite some, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Paladin. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So this is definitely same cost as Doomhammer. Obviously, no overload. What do you guys first off think about this card, and secondly, do you think it means anything for Doomhammer? Right.
Oh, I think Doomhammer might be one of the cards they would have to nerf potentially. Like, there's a lot of rogue cards, and then there's like Doomhammer that are like the cards we're not thinking of when it comes to the things Blizzard's going to nerf, but they might do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This card is nowhere near Doomhammer. This card sucks, I think, actually.
Yeah.
All the stuff in Standard has 5 health. It doesn't kill the 4-drop bubble guy, the 4/2 for 4. It
Servant.
The minion you get off of it trades with like a 1-drop late game. Like, it's not gonna be hard to kill it. I think it's just not that good. But it's cool, I guess. I don't know. I like the idea behind it. It's just costed in a way that's very balanced, where one of the numbers would have needed to be just a little too good. Like, even if this card cost 4 mana, which I realize would be nuts, it wouldn't be like, it would be broken, but it wouldn't be too broken.
That's true silver with a minion.
But you lose the healing, like, it matters.
Yeah. Okay. Noxious.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like Doomhammer is getting changed, but again, like, there's no way I can probably like possibly know that yet. Because this card just feels like I would maybe only play this in mid range. Like, in aggro shaman, I don't think anything changes, but in mid range, it's like you want to curve into turn 6 with Fire Alley, and this lets you do it.
Yeah.
Whereas Doomhammer kind of forces you to play it very, very late in the game, or at least be able to, you know, have a decent board before you play it. This also gives you the opportunity to hold it, kind of like Deathbite, and if they Harrison it down, well, they lose Harrison because the 4/2 trades with it. So that's one of those funny things. I also like the fact that it gives you probably a 3-drop. I guess it's 3-drop. With Master of Evolution, maybe there's something to do with it. I don't know. Like, it feels good to me, but, you know, it's not crazy OP, I think. But it's underrated, I'd say, by a lot of people.
What other 5-drop would a Shaman play right now?
I mean, Hazard Drake, Thunderbluff, Valiant.
Yeah, exactly. Thunderbluff definitely is going to be better.
They've got options, yeah.
Okay.
Doomhammer.
JJ, I'm thinking Doomhammer is going to change mana cost. That's my thought. But
I mean, this card is just too slow, too bad, right? Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with the 4 attack? Like, it doesn't even Doomhammer. Like, also, like, you don't even get like the Rockbiter synergy, or you don't get like 2 hits or something. This like this card is also like, you get the body out, the 4/2, which is not even that good, because the 4/2 body means like yeah. Gets backstabbed or whatever. It's like it's very slow, and you don't really can achieve that much with the 4 attack. I don't think that card will see too much play.
Okay,
interesting.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm the only one who likes this. Like, I actually think this card is playable, and very much so. But I want to be proven wrong on this one, because I feel like the card is like, it gets the Druid Drakes down, which is also one of the better 5-drops that we have. Post rotation, so it hits that Blackwing Corruptor in Dragon decks, which should also see a bit of play. I don't know.
We'll see. Of card that would be playable if like some of the numbers are different, because the effect is good and the fact that it's the weapon is good. It's just like it needed to have like 5 attack, or the elemental needed to be like a 4/4.
Okay.
Or it needed to cost like 1 less, and maybe
I could see that.
Yeah, like some of the numbers are a little bit off. It's almost good enough, but like, there's such a big difference between 4 and 5 damage that it just becomes really awkward.
I mean, the only thing we maybe have to consider that a lot of the death rattles are going away, right? So maybe pure attack weapons are get better.
Okay.
Meh.
Yeah. I didn't think about it in terms of it just being like a pure counter to Harrison, except for the draw, obviously, but actually killing it, that's kind of cool. All right, let's see. The 6-mana things from below, 5 attack, 5 health. The hex is taunt, costs 1 less for each totem you've summoned this game. All right, so this is one of those, you know, this card's obviously you're going to want to play a little bit later, so that's almost free potentially when you play it. What are your thoughts on this? When do you think what turn do you think you'll end up being able to play this if you drew it from the start? JJ?
I think in average turn 4 point something.
No, okay, all right.
Yeah, it depends, like, what you build your deck around. If you have, like, a really, like, mid-rangey shaman, like back in the days, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have, like, the flame tongue value. You maybe go to totem over something else. Like, I think you have, like, a really totem synergetic shaman. And when is this card actually good? You want to have a 5/5, so 4 mana would be decent, but not even that dramatically good, right? So mm-hmm. you have to make the synergies work in your deck really well, work really well, like with Thunderbluff Valiant. We have this Totem Carver, right? Like, I think as a free drop, this card is insane, man. So if you use like 3 times your hero power, which could of course happen if you make a really controller shaman, it would be good. But this also has to happen till turn 4 or 3. I don't know. This card is kind of hard to evaluate. You have to make a deck around it first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Teskar helps with it too. So you don't have to just Hero Power, but or Totemic.
Oh, I forgot a Taunt totally. I mean, the Taunt, of course, gives it 4 mana. If you get a Taunt, like 2 times Hero Power, it makes it good. So yeah, mm-hmm. I didn't get a Taunt effect. I kind of rate over it. But then it's, of course, like 2 mana for 2 times use, it's good. Ben.
Right, Ray, what do you think?
So when people lose to Shaman after the new set comes out, which they will a lot, they're going to like lose the game to just being out card quality. Like the card quality in Shaman is so stupidly high, and assuming they don't nerf too many things. So the card that they're going to complain about losing to is like Master of Evolution, because somebody's going to gain control of the board and then Master of Evolution is going to turn this Thing from Below guy into like a 7-drop and blow them out. But in reality, the Thing from Below is like better. Like, it's the kind of card that'll win the game for you from a losing position by having a really powerful swing turn. I don't think it'll ever really get played on turn 4 or 5, because unless you have a terrible draw, because you don't want to be playing Flame Tongue Totem on turn 2. You right. don't want to be hero powering on turn 2. Totem Golem reduces the cost on this, which is a very big deal. But most of the time, Thing from Below is going to be played in the like kind of later stages, like turn 7, roughly. And it's going to be played alongside efficient removal, like Hex or Lightning Storm or something, to swing the board really fast. And then if it doesn't die, either you blow them out with Master of Evolution or just having, you know, just it's just good for those like fast swing turns, I guess. It's kind of like playing Solemn Vigil after a quality clearing, except with the really big minion. So
yeah,
the card is nuts. I think it's actually like between the two, I think this card is more important for Master of Evolution, although Master of Evolution is the card people are going to remember losing to a lot more.
I mean, does this card also work? Doesn't it also work with Totem Golem and Totemic? Like, we're also
of course. Mm-hmm. It does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it's like super bonkers, you just drop
that's what I mean.
Totem Golem or Tuska.
Yeah.
When it's getting like super ham, like if this counts into it, or when we are going deep.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Shaman deck seems a little too easy to build right now. Like, you just play 2 of all the broken cards. And just, I don't know. We'll see how it works out, I guess, but it seems really good right now.
The new Paladin, like the card quality just is better than all the other classes.
Crazy, yeah.
Maybe right. They nerf the Hex or something, I don't know.
Nerf Hex? Okay.
Nerf Hex, okay.
They could. I mean, these cards are really good. So.
Imagine all your cards are just better to begin with, and then you also have like the only good spot removal, and they nerf BGH, so you're the only class that can kill
that's true.
Three minions.
Oh my goodness.
So you're the only class that can kill
that's true.
Three minions.
Oh my goodness. Oops. All right. So next up,
scares me.
We got some interesting warrior cards. I think warrior's been getting a little bit of love too recently. These are both 3-drops. First one's a spell, 3-mana blood warriors. Epic card, add a copy of each damaged friendly minion to your hand. So this is kind of like the warrior echo, so which, you know, you can do a whirlwind or venge and just like, you know, get a bunch of cards in your hand to just when you have a lot of stuff on the board. And it's probably synergized with Battle Rage and all kinds of things too. Noxious, what do you think?
That's an interesting card for me to look at, because on one end I'm like, when do you play this over Battle Rage? And most of the decks that want to use that, but then again it's like, well, I don't get fatigued and I can duplicate the big stuff that I care for. I like the fact that you can use it with Inner Rage. Basically you're guaranteed to be able to trigger it right away. Mm-hmm. Where you're getting the effect for 0 mana, you can damage something. I don't know, like, I could see a world in which Tempo Warrior is a thing. Like, I could imagine a funny Hobgoblin deck where you can pull this off as card draw. Like, as a way, to, with the seven, like the Ravaging Ghoul, somehow you pull this off, or you find a way to deal one damage in AoE with the Tentacle. And then
but the Hobgoblin is gone,
you
right?
Just, yeah, it's gone, but, like, in Wild, it would be fun. In Standard, I don't know what this is going to be in yet. Like, we don't remotely have the tools for this. In Patron, it feels like
get a, bunch
a
of
good way for them to stay in the game, right? Because otherwise, they just run out of options at some point. They kind of starve. They have one wave of Patrons, and that's it. My issue, of course, is, well, how many activators will they really have after they even get those Patrons back? So it's kind of tough to evaluate right now for me.
Okay. JJ?
I liked it. Like, did anyone see like the life coach video? Art, he was describing the artwork.
It's in his video, yeah. Come on, the artwork's got to be it's very colorful, and you know, it's just the morphing. It's
yeah, life coach shits on everything, though. Like everything.
It was funny, bro. Like, just. He was talking about the artwork of the card. So, I mean. So yeah, we're going. I mean, this card is like constructed wise, just you compare the better edge, it's just worse. It doesn't really do enough. Like if you see it for constructed, of course, if you want to tinker around, I can see something, but not really impressed by this card. Nothing special, maybe just a fun card.
Okay. Ray? Any of the card drawing good for Warriors here?
When I saw like Echo of Medivh come out, I thought that card would be pretty bad too, because it in my head I'm like, oh, it's only good if you're already winning and stuff like that. But I've come to respect effects like this a lot more, especially because we have just so many tools to take advantage of it. So I would not be surprised if this ended up being like a centerpiece of a pretty important Warrior deck. I definitely think that there's going to be a Patron deck regardless, because even if we're losing Deathbite and Unstable Ghoul, which are definitely big losses, there's still so many good ways to enable Enrage, and there's still like we still gain some tools like Ravaging Ghoul and Hogger. Like, so I definitely think there's going to be some like patrony Warrior deck. I don't know if Blood Warrior is a card you want to put into an Enrage deck, even though that sounds really unintuitive. It might be like the Blood Warrior deck might look completely different from the Enrage Warrior deck. So. Or the Patron Warrior, even though they play a lot of the same support cards. So I think it definitely has potential. I wouldn't count the card out, but like I wouldn't be surprised if it saw absolutely zero play, and I wouldn't be surprised if it made a really powerful archetype on its own.
Okay. Speaking of Ravaging Ghoul, why don't you start us off with that one too? This one's three drop, so it's not, you know, a lot of people are thinking of Deathbite when they're talking about this card. Obviously, it's quite different given that Deathbite's a weapon and you can your opponent will know when you're setting it up versus this card just sits in your hand and they don't know. But what do you think of this? Ray, why don't you start us off? Just because it's your turn.
With Ravaging Ghoul?
Yeah, your turn.
Yeah, it seems really good. I don't know. First I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's not bad, but it's, you know, you lose a lot of the flexibility that Whirlwind had. And the more I thought about it, the more, like, the flexibility on this is kind of nuts. Because it is awkward to play a 3-mana card at a lot of points, but it's just so good against aggro on its own. It lets your little dudes trade up really effectively. If you're behind, it punishes them and gives you a reasonable amount of stats, given the effect. So, yeah, it just seems, like, pretty good. And we'll see. I don't know exactly how games are going to play out with it, but it's flexible and it's strong. So I expect to see a lot of this card.
Yeah. Nox?
I don't know. It feels like a consecration for Warriors if you have Whirlwind with it. So it's going to look a little bit weird. Because it doesn't damage itself, right? So it'll go down to 3-2 after your Whirlwind. I don't know if you can rely on that, given that you already have like other tools. But like it doesn't replace Deathbite in my mind, just because of the fact that you have to, you know, you can hold Deathbite and you can't hold this. But like I want to kind of talk about this in Shadow Word Horror, right? Like these two cards look like they were made to deal with Muster for Battle and Implosion. In a weird way, and those two are rotating out, so it's kind of odd. Like I feel like the planning for it was to deal with Muster and Implosion, but it's not gonna work. I don't know,
going wild is still a possibility.
It'll work for sure. I just don't know like if it's gonna do what Blizzard intended it to, and I'm not sure you'd play this to enable anything unless it's like over Whirlwind because Whirlwind is cheaper, but you'll be able to play it as a standalone card later in the game. So if you can slow down the match and play with Blood Warrior on some janky turns, sure. Why not? I like it.
JJ?
I mean, this card is only strong if you make some kind of Patron Warrior work, right? In Patron Warrior, how good it is. It's worse than Deathspite for sure, of course, because like Nox said, you can hold the Deathspite. You have to spend the free mana here for sure. Not a big fan of it yet. Like, it depends how it works out. There are a lot of aggro decks, and yeah, just the 1/1s are going away. Like Nox just said, I don't think that card will be too good, but wait to see. Like, I'm not too impressed. The body is decent, the effect. They have to prove that the effect is good enough for the meta. Otherwise, this card will not see play. 3/3 is not that amazing for 3 mana. It's standard, pretty standard, yeah.
I mean, it gives you a decent curve, I guess. If Totem Golem comes out, you equip War Axe, and then you follow it up with this. You can deal with Totem Golem. This plus the Whirlwind deals with a Shaman Totem board. So there's got to be some merit to it, right? Like, it is okay.
That's true.
It's not a bad card. It's just, I don't know yet what the meta look like. So it's hard to evaluate.
Yeah, like I said, like, the effect has to be good enough.
I mean, it trades a spider tank and stuff, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the card is, like, too good not to see play, like, overall. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that it sees play is going to be so different for every deck.
So in the wild world, would this card make a patron deck? Like, is this better? Is this an upgrade to anything in Patron and Wild?
Wild's really weird. It's not about, like, how good cards are. It's like you're going to develop a very, like, linear game plan, and then you're just going to want the cheapest cards to do that. So you're not going to want flexible cards like Taskmaster or this card. You're going to want just cheap stuff to do broken things very quickly. So, like, we're all...
But, I mean, it does beat Implosion and Muster in Wild, right? So that might have a big effect. Just the fact that it exists in a wild is already a huge deterrent to some cards being played at all.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the card I was thinking about was
it has the power to, like, shift the metagame in wild, funny enough, like, on its own.
Yeah, I mean, the card I was thinking of was, like, Unstable, because, you know, Unstable you can't control when it procs, where this card you can. So just a little different scenario for a patron deck. All right, so we've got one more card, and
for Ramp, this is basically a dream come true. Like, when Grove Tender was announced, I was really surprised that it would be a symmetrical effect because, I mean, granted, a 3-cost card that would give you a mana crystal on your own only would be a little bit over the top, but I feel like this is really solid. Like, the wild growth existing, this existing, means you reach turn 6 or your 6-cost, like, 6-cost cards really quickly.
Last one is the Druid card. Mire Keeper, 4 mana, 3/3 body, and it's an option card. Choose one, summon a 2/2 slime or gain an empty mana crystal. Nox, you start this one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's weird that they have Keeper of the Grove dealing 2 damage as Battlecry on one end, and then the first option that they have here is summon a minion on the board. So I guess they're trying to do different things. Of course, the 2/2 is, I don't think, is going to be, like, the most impactful thing. But for Ramp, this is basically a dream come true. Like, when Grove Tender was announced, I was really surprised that it would be a symmetrical effect because, I mean, granted, a 3-cost card that would give you a mana crystal on your own only would be a little bit over the top, but I feel like this is really solid. Like, the wild growth existing, this existing, means you reach turn 6 or your 6-cost cards really quickly. It's like the Nourish you wish you could play, basically.
Okay, I mean, this is the wild growth into Mire Keeper, right? Into 6 mana.
Whenever you get it. You'll get it either on turn 5 or, you know, whenever you do.
Okay, JJ?
All right.
Very good. Like, Blizzard would never betray the trees, right?
Of course.
They just love them, right? Like, this is exactly... Let's make Ramp Druid super strong. When I'm looking at the cards, like they just want to have Ramp Druid really, really present. This card is just what Ramp Druid needs. What do I need? Do I need a board? Do I need Ramp? Let's decide. Like, 4 mana, 5/5 or Ramp? This card is super fucking good. It's like, yeah, there we go. Let's go. For the wilds. I think this card is definitely, like, constructive, playable.
Yeah, it's insane. I think it's insane.
All right, Ray?
Yeah, I mean, it's just good. Not much to say about it. Like, it'll see play in most Druid decks. And the one thing about this that will make Druid decks look a little bit different is this is in the game, I think Sylvanas is going to become kind of core because you're going to naturally want more six drops and you're already going to be playing Emperor. So Sylvanas is, makes up for Druid's lack of removal, helps you if you're behind on board. So you're just going to want to play like more six drops basically because of this guy. Yeah.
So this is this like an every Druid deck, which is, you know, that's definitely crosses the line of being bad for me, is when it's so good that it's every Druid deck.
Because there's going to be aggro Druid and there's going to be beast Druid potentially too. And in both of those decks, you could consider not playing it. But in general, it's pretty dumb.
<That's pretty dumb. laughs> If you make a general mid-range Druid deck like you build them now, this is in there twice every single version.
Can you imagine they don't take they don't take combo out? That's gonna be the
This is the day that I just like Alt F4 uninstall and probably just go play like Kill the Collect on Steam.
One of the things about getting a bunch of mana crystals, now that we have like one more playable wild growth type of thing, is you're gonna want to compensate for that with more card draw, because you're like, if you ramp with this, you're not getting that good of stats. So you're gonna want more card draw in decks that have more ramp, and they're probably gonna nerf Ancient of Lore, I would guess.
Yeah.
So I think that's gonna mean Nourish is kind of like standard. So all of a sudden you're looking at a deck with like Innervate, Wild Growth, this guy, and Nourish. So that's enough ramp to the point where the 10 mana guys might actually see play, like the god that we talked about earlier.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
Yasharaj.
Or just other big expensive stuff might see play because of the combination of this guy.
That's scary because I mean, I was watching people in the last day, and I've played plenty of Viviana Druid, but I was watching people on the last day, like, you know, getting one top 100 with Aviana Druid, and this kind of card makes it even better. So it's gonna be pretty crazy.
Oh my god, Coda Rider makes me so sick. Holy shit! If that comes out early, it's gonna be so disgusting. It's like it's the janky card that you don't expect to lose to, and it comes out and you have no 5 damage output because you've dealt with this 3/3. I don't know. It'd be weird. I want
to
see that.
You have to hero power though, but yeah,
do Coda it.
Rider would be of course you'd do it. But
do it.
It's like that, or do you put a solid, six?
Yeah, a solid six drop. Yeah.
No, the following turns I'm talking about. It's like you'd have to hero.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Druids keep getting love. That's for sure. I think like JJ was talking about, like if we ever had any doubt that the Blizzard developers love Druid, I think it's definitely gone now. Okay, let's take some questions, guys, and thanks everybody for tweeting those. If you still want to get your questions in, definitely tweet those to ChanmanV or ValueTownGG. Also, at this time, I want to thank the patrons too, all the ValueTown patrons. I appreciate all the support, and if you want to, support it or support everything we do on this show, you can go to patreon.com/ValueTown and become a patron and participate in some of the cool rewards and milestones we have there. All right, first question we have. Angus Hank, he asks, regarding the new shaman weapon, what do you think about Elemental being a possible new minion or just being a new minion type?
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
And we
should use more.
We only have how many? Like 4? We have water.
No, there's
fire,
more like Murloc, Pirate. I don't know. No, there's more than that.
No, I'm talking about
elemental, fire elemental. But you have to put like the Destroyer in there, right? You put Magma Rager, Ice Rager, all the Ragnaros would be in there. Alakir would be in there.
That's true.
Dust Devil.
Elemental is super awesome. There's a lot of them. Like the effects.
Yeah, but I mean, they want to spread Murlocs to like 2 classes. They want to spread Beasts to 2 classes, Pirates to 2 classes. Elementals with what? Like it would be another Shaman-ish specific subtype, like totems. I don't know if they'd be willing to do that, right? Like print cards that are for a specific class synergy wise.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you might as well make it class cards that buff one another directly, like in a funny way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. I just remembered something, guys. I do have one more card. I forgot it was at the bottom here. We have one more card. It's the Hunter card. Totally forgot about the Hunter card. It came out today. So. Okay, so there's all these different names for it. I was looking on Reddit. They had some crazy name for it, but it's supposed to be called Call of the Wild. And it's an 8-mana card. It's a spell. We've actually seen the artwork for a while now. But summon all 3 animal companions. It's an epic card. So a lot of people guessing what it was. Now we know what it is, which is like it summons a Liok, a Huffer, and a Misha all at once. This card good? JJ?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What do we have? 8 mana. We have all 3 companions. We go like, I think, 12-10 with the Liok buff, right? And also, did we ever see a 100 deck without animal companion? Did we ever see one? I mean, it opens, of course, a different type of hunter. The stats are solid. You get also the 5 charge damage from Hoffer in. So it also gives you a little bit of reach. But I think in mid-range hunter, this card, this card will be good. I think this card will be good. Like, it's definitely solid.
Yeah, 3 minions on the board at once. That's pretty sweet, Ray.
I mean, this is going the right direction for expensive cards in Hunter. It's most of the time, like, Blizzard makes any card that costs 8 or more mana, we're just going to write it off as unplayable, with the exception of the ones that are, like, very strong, clearly, like the new Ragnaros. Or, like, this card seems solid. I'm still very wary of playing expensive cards in Hunter because... Like, I say it all the time, but in my opinion, Hunter is, like, overloaded for the later stages of the game because the hero power scales so well into the late game. You always want to be hero powering late game. And I'd rather just keep my curve kind of low. So it's really an 8-mana card would have to do a lot to justify its inclusion in Hunter. But if you're playing, you know, a slower Hunter deck and you want more high mains, which some lists definitely do, then this card is reasonable. I just don't know the speed of the Hunter decks that we're going to have. And this card would be so much better in like any other class, just because you really want to hero power with Hunter late game.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, Nox?
Yeah, I have a hard time evaluating it because like on one end, all that stuff doesn't die to anything but maybe like Flame Strike. Like even Light Bomb doesn't deal with it in the wild. The only thing is... It's kind of hard to... I mean, it kills everything but Liok, granted, but it's pretty close. The only thing I'm worried about is, like, can you get to that turn with Hunter? Like, I know Control Hunter has been a thing, but is it ever better than just a straight-up more aggressive approach to the class? And if so, like, do you play this on 8 or 10? Right? Like, if you have it in your hand, you probably want to play it on 8, but, like, how much are you gaining? You get, like, a Reckless Rocketeer, like a Booty Bay Bodyguard, and
you get buffs to whatever's on the board too. Like, go ahead.
Oh, you have to say like Hunter was always like we are searching for these high value cards because we don't have the most card draw, right? And also, that's the thing, and that's why this card is strong because you have so much value in one card. It's exactly what you search for, right?
We're losing Boom too, so.
I think it's good. I just don't know like how to evaluate it yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like as far as what you're going to do with it, where you're going to fit it. Like, do you play it in Control Hunter? Because that doesn't sound right. You'd probably play it in mid-range as the top of your curve, right? Like a pseudo King Crush.
Yeah. It wouldn't be an aggro for sure, but I could see it making it like being some kind of Boom replacement in the mid-range. And I like the card. I have a feeling this card might be really, really good. But we'll have to see. I like the artwork. The artwork looks like freaking Avengers. It's like the Beast Avengers or something like that.
The artwork looks like Smork, Happy Beast.
Should have had life. Make a video on this one, man. All right.
It's like the new Challenger, man. Check it out. Just check it out.
New Challenger. All right. Let's get some more questions here. Okay, so Tim L has a pre-censored question. What does everyone think a good replacement for Light Bomb would look like or are hoping for in the Old Gods? Or will there even be something that's like Light Bomb for Priest? I don't know if Priest is going to get another removal type of spell since they have...
Shadowworth Slaughter, 6 mana.
Shadowworth Slaughter.
Like, you just... I mean, I don't even know at this point where they're going to print. Like, it's so silly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get one, quite honestly. They only have 4 cards left, So they better be awesome cards, whatever they are. But I have a feeling there's not going to be anything like Light Bomb. Yeah, what do you guys think?
You already have Arcanine Circle, mm-hmm. and Holy Nova and Excavated Evil. I don't think the class really necessarily needs another AoE, although Light Bomb is definitely very good, very important in matchups like Secret Paladin. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's a great card. Sucks to see it go, but the idea is if every time an expansion came out, they just replaced the old cards with slightly different ones, things wouldn't really change that much, right? So it's good that Priest isn't relying on some single AoE spell still. Like they shouldn't just replace every card that's rotating out. That's part of what changes. Mm-hmm. You want the class to lose Light Bomb and get something different. So
yeah. Yeah, hopefully we'll see some different kinds of priests, right? Not just crazy control ones and dragons. Those are like the two. Well, we saw some Reno recently too, but I don't know. JJ, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
You think any full or very all-encompassing removal is likely for the rest of the cards for Priest?
I mean, it's okay. Like Reno said, like we have enough removal Priest, and maybe we just make the deck a bit more not that fatigue heavy. We just put in a bit more threats, and we don't need that much removal. I think, yeah, we don't need it. Like also, like he said, like the Escalated Evil can do a good work. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Not a big deal.
Yeah. I think we might see like a bigger Excavated Evil, like an 8 mana, 5 damage. It's not quite Light Bomb, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if they printed like a very high cost Twisting Nether-esque Priest card for removal instead of a 6 cost Light Bomb. I would, that maybe is what I would see, like at most.
5. Is,
yeah. Ugh. 5 damage AoE, 8 mana.
So kind of a Flame Strike, basically.
Sure, but everything gets hit, including your own card, so...
Yeah, okay, more like Elemental Destruction, then.
Sure.
I hope not. I hope they just go with a complete different direction, like the guys were saying.
A 2-drop.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's see, next up, let's... there's one that was here... I guess what card do you think is going to be? Let's see, how do they word it here? It's basically what card do you think is going to be? You think most people are wrong? You know, like people have been giving reviews and you think that they're likely to be wrong about. Just maybe you're unique in that way, or just you know in the minority in thinking that way. Anybody?
Let me pull up the list of cards.
Yeah.
I think it comes to mind off the top of my head.
I know we talked about a couple last. Lord. I know we talked a couple. Yeah, there was definitely one last episode that was
disagreeing on.
Yeah, definitely disagreeing. I mean, Firebat. I know.
Scaled Nightmare. I know the.
Oh, this Huckster. Wasn't it Huckster? Like that was. I think a lot of people agree that Huckster is a good.
Pretty good, yeah. We didn't really talk about the Vilefin Inquisitor too much, like the Murloc guy that gives your hero power.
Oh.
But I don't think it's like there's much to talk about because it's basically like a Murloc, standard Murloc deck. And with Murkai going away, then we'll have to see what comes out. Like, do we get Muster for Murlocs? I don't know.
Muster,
I don't know. Like, maybe the Hammer of Twilight. Like, Hammer of Twilight would probably be the card. Like, I've seen a lot of very, very varying reviews of that card.
Okay.
Some people either love it and think it's great or just think it's absolute shit. So, or, like, hardly playable. It's kind of in between.
I think the Forbidden Priest card would be pretty nuts.
You really? Okay, you think that's going to be crazy, huh? Somebody did I think it was a Reddit post that might be still up there, or it was yesterday, and he just, like, posted his sample of him using, or just what would come up, basically, at 1-drop, 2-drop, 3-drop, 4-drop, and it was kind of interesting. The stats were definitely interesting on that thing. I think 8-drops were almost always good, so it kind of gave you a representation of when to use it, or when you'd have the highest consistency. But the flexibility on that card is cool for sure. It's still not 2-drop. The 2-drops are still gonna suck. Like if you use it.
Yeah, praying for a 2/3.
Yeah,
I'm praying for a 2-mana 2/3 that does something. I don't care what it is, just something. That's not Shadow Boxer.
It's not Shadow Boxer. JJ, you got any card that might be good? It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, I can't really, like, the cards are bad. Like, they are so obviously bad. That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't really see something, like, sticking out where I say, yes, that's going to be a card people are wrong about. No, not really, not really. Like, they're, like, this is what Blizzard does. They put the cards pretty clearly into a scale from good to bad, and they show which are the good ones and the bad ones.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Thomas Nickel, he asks, do you guys think with a change of BGH and adding the thing from below, that Black Knight will make a return to the meta?
I think if the metagame slows down at all, Black Knight's back. Like, that's it.
I've been trying it recently just to see how it works, and it's not quite there, that's for sure. But yeah, things starting to see taunts more for sure.
They're like setting this deadline also a bit down, right? Like, it's not like we're going to be like these shredder and stuff. Like, if you have more taunts, like the thing from below, like Black Knight is a card. The problem that it has, like, there are so many 5/5 bodies or 5 attack, 5 health minions. That makes Black Knight really bad, right? And also, like, Ram Druid making a comeback, right? Like what we said, that might be just the issue to run him again.
Okay. I don't know, Ray, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'll see more play, probably. It's a pretty strong swing effect, and we are going to see more Ram Druid for sure. I think that the stats are just getting progressively worse because there's a lot of power. I don't want to use the word power creep, but Blizzard definitely, like, clearly was not happy with how the Grand Tournament was received because it didn't really impact the metagame at all. So I feel like they're really overcompensating with this set because these cards are, like, very, very high power level, and you just have, like, a bunch of, like, Yetis with upsides. That was, like, the worst cards. It's a lot of strong stuff in this set, for sure. So, yeah, I expect Black Knight probably see more play than he does now because he can't see less.
Yeah, definitely. A couple more. All right, go ahead, Nox.
Like last thing, though, like, you bring up a good point, though. Like, I wish the Grand Tournament was basically becoming playable as a result of this coming out. Like, that was my hope, was, like, everybody's going to go back because finally, you know, GBG's out and the power level is going to be the same across the board. But nope. It turns out Old Gods is going to be, like, substantially stronger, I think, than GBG, than TGT even offers. So it might just be the set that nobody has ever played. Like, it just might be remembered that set. To just suck.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, by the way, I didn't give a shout out to Kieran Byrne. Byrne was the guy who asked about, you know, which bad looking cards would turn out amazing. Sure. Let's see. Okay, Resident Sleeper, he asks, is Hearthstone going in the wrong direction with dedicating the majority of a set to 4 Old Gods? I wouldn't say they're dedicated majority of the set, right? Like, it's probably like a quarter, maybe. Maybe a quarter of the set is going towards each of the gods.
Less than that, I think.
I think less than that?
Less than
okay,
that.
Yeah. So I don't think it's majority. And even
I mean, what they're making...
Go ahead.
What they're making is, like, we're giving, like, people a bit help on deck building, right? We're giving, like, this is your win condition. Here can you build a deck around. It's a good direction to get new players in there, right? And it's not, like, a majority of the card base.
Mm-hmm. True. Okay, Classic. Speaking of tribes, would you like Hearthstone to be like MTG Magic, as in every single card has a tribe?
I would, but the problem is, it's like, how do you make, like, you can't make tribes. There's a lot of tribes you can't make, like Pirate. Like, how the fuck, like, you'd have to have 2 sub-tribes. I don't have any problem with having, like, a Goblin Pirate or, like, a double tribe card, but I feel like Blizzard wants to keep it super simple. And it also opens up a ton of balance issues where some of the older stuff that you've printed for synergy might impact some of the new stuff that you make. And I know they're really, really scared of printing other cards that are going to do, you know, broken stuff like Warzone Commander, kind of preventing the Dreadsteed-like cards coming out. But yeah, like, I'd like it, but I think Blizzard's going to stray away from that.
Okay. How do tribes work? I mean, I'm not familiar with how tribes work in Magic.
Every card is a type. It's the only difference.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, everything's a beast or human or something. And not all the tribes have, like, synergy cards necessarily, but they all have a type. And I don't think it's a bad direction to go, right? We have a bunch of random vanilla dudes that don't have types. Like the ancient one doesn't have a type. That feels kind of weird.
Yeah.
He should be like demon or god or something.
At least a faceless thing. I don't even care what that faceless subtype is supposed to be, but like, can you make some of those?
Kind of shapeshifter is what it is in magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Octopus. I don't know.
Oh no. Everyone's a kraken now. Like all the old gods.
That's awesome.
Run away.
Is there really an octopus? Yeah. Try.
Oh, there is, yeah.
Oh, wow. I thought you were joking. Wow.
It doesn't do shit. Okay. It doesn't do shit, but it is an octopus. You know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for questions. Thanks for all the folks that wrote in or tweeted your question. Going to wrap up the show. Definitely good times, JJ, having you on. Got to have you on again, man.
No. Glad to be here. I like talking about cards. Yeah. Well, these are like the more exciting things, right? New cards are coming up. Everybody's in PogChamp mode. That's really cool. I like it. It's also like the theory crafting is so fun. I do it a lot with some of my friends. It's so nice.
Yeah, this is the most. I mean, the most exciting time is like analyzing them as they announce them, and then you do a post analysis and see how wrong we were, that sort of thing, and then you actually get into the.
Trogzor was good. Trogzor is really
Trogzor, yes, Trogzor. Actually, Ray, did you say Trogzor was ever good?
I said it was awful and would never see.
Oh before. Man, okay, all right.
And everyone else said it was good.
Yeah, literally everybody awful. Else said it was good. You know, yeah, including
I got a lot of shit for saying Dr. Boom is the worst piece of shit power creature. Yeah. So much shit, dude. Yeah, no idea the shit I got. For that.
I did not say Dr. Boom was good.
I didn't say it was good.
Trogzor, I said it was awful. I'll never see play. And everyone's like, no.
I had hope.
It's the same thing about Varian, too.
Varian?
I didn't like Varian. I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Varian.
Same logic applies, right?
Yeah. So you got to wonder about this set, too, you know, as to what that one's going to be. But yeah, JJ, you want to do any shout outs before you take off?
Shout out to my team Complexity, of course, because they support me every time. Well, that's it, I guess.
All right. Noxious.
Yeah, likewise. Shout out to Complexity, JJ. Thanks for coming on last minute.
Yeah.
A little bit of a last second request, but it was cool to have you on.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you.
Ray.
Shout out to Lock and Load. It will be very good one day.
Dude, I've played against it a couple times.
Dude, you get called the wild from that, right? Just that's the best fucking case scenario. Late game, you need a threat, win, and you have nothing else.
Yeah. Shout out to you guys for being on the show. It's been fun. I don't have that much. Shout out to Temstrom.com for providing affordable, comfortable clothing to the masses. Shout out to Twitch and G2A.
All right, awesome. And I will thank you guys for doing the show today. Noxious Ray for doing it every week with me, and then JJ coming on. Loving it, man. We have to definitely have you on in the future. And I want to give a shout out to, obviously, Temple Storm for sponsoring the show and their sponsors, which Ray and I already talked about. And lastly, I want to give a shout out to just Nydra and just any of the other, you know, journalists actually writing, you know, pieces that, you know, I know it take a lot of time and you get a lot of crap for it. You know, like I know he's gotten a lot of threats and stuff like that, and that's never fun. But, you know, these are the type of things that in the esport and gaming, but particularly esports, you know, we need people that are, you know, talking about these kind of difficult things or revealing some things that are going on. And you know, I just want to give him a shout out for that, because we didn't get a chance to cover it when he first released his piece, and I just want to you know, just get some love out for him. But if those of you that missed the beginning of the show want to catch the episode, you can check it out on youtube.com/ChamMV. I'll upload this in about 20 minutes, so you can expect it there. And you can just tune in if you enjoyed the show. You know, definitely follow the Temple Storm channel and tune in every week. We're always at 4 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, Central Eastern Summertime. I think that's exactly what it is. But until next week, guys, for Super JJ, Raynad, Noxious, and myself, Champion V, we'll see you next week. Peace.